It's always good to begin in the book of Romans, chapter 8. One of the great chapters in your Bible, Romans chapter 8. Just one verse of scripture, and that's verse 29. The Bible says this, "For whom he did foreknow, that is, those who are saved, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." As believers in Jesus Christ, we are in a state of being conformed to the image of his Son, becoming more like him, and that involves several things. This last Sunday, we spent time just thinking about loving what God loves. And the more that we're conformed to his image, the more we will do that. And then weeping over the things that Christ wept over in his earthly ministry. He wept over his city. He looked at Jerusalem and he said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets." And he wept over the city. He wept at the death of a friend. Shortest verse in the Bible, two words, Jesus wept. When Lazarus died, he wept over his friend. And then in Hebrews chapter 5, the Bible says that he wept over the cross. It also involves the opposite end of loving what he loved is hating what he hated. General Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, said he feared the day when there would be salvation without regeneration, faith without repentance, heaven without hell, and love without hate, and that day is here. There are things that we should love and we hate, and then there are things we should hate and we love. So I want this lesson tonight to help us along those ways. Okay, first of all, Psalms 101. Psalms 101. And look at verse 3. "I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me." I'll set no wicked thing before my eyes. That's a good thing, isn't it? Not at the movies, not on your television, not in magazines, not anything that would fan youthful lust. We should set no wicked thing before our eyes. The fact of the matter is, we should hate that. Now, Psalms 119. Psalms 119. Look at verse 104. "Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore, because of that, I hate every false way." Through thy precepts, I get understanding. And that's a good thing, and that is absolutely true. We get confusion from the world. We get understanding from the Word of God. Therefore, I hate every false way. I'm going to say some things, and I hope that you understand. I'm not talking about the people involved in these. I'm talking about the method here, all righty? First of all, Roman Catholicism is a false way. One of my Bible college professors, he said, if you leave this institution without a hatred for the Roman Catholic hierarchy, the Roman Catholic way, we have not done our responsibility to you, because Roman Catholicism is a false way. Mormonism is a false way. Jehovah Witness is a false way. Again, it's not the people, but the false way. It damns people's souls to hell. And that should upset. Do you realize that in Roman Catholic teaching, that when that priest lifts that bread and that cup up above his head, what he is doing, he is offering to God the crucified Christ. That's in their doctrine, folks. Noel Smith said this, "The defiled hands of puny man offering to the eternal God the crucified Christ, how pathetic and pagan," and it is. And we should hate every false way. Not the people, but the false way. To get mad at the right things is a sign of holiness and not weakness. Book of Amos, chapter 5. Again, if you want to know how to remember how to remember the minor prophets, the first two letters, Hojoam, Objomai, Nahazi, Hazibah. That's how you do it. So, Hojoam, so we're there. All righty. Hosea, Joel, Amos. Amos chapter 5. And look at verse 21. God said, I despise your feast days, and I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. I despise your feast days, and I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. God hates empty and vain ritual, is what he's talking about. He hates dead religion. He hates a prayer life that is not sincere. God hates it when nothing happens in our hearts when we come to the house of God and the Word of God is sung and the Word of God is preached and we get to fellowship. If that does not affect your heart, something is wrong. Coming in this building this evening and know that it is completely debt free. It just did something for my heart, and I'm glad. God wants real worship in spirit and in truth, and God's truth is absolutely life-changing, and God hates it when we waste our life in dead orthodoxy. Zechariah. Hojoam, Objomai, Nahazi, Hazi-ba. So, keep going. Zechariah chapter 8. Zechariah chapter 8, and look at verse 17. "And let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor, and love no false oath. For all these are things that I hate, saith the Lord." Don't be mad at a friend, a neighbor, without a scriptural cause. And there are some causes for you to be mad at them. But don't be mad at them without a scriptural cause. Back to Jeremiah now. Jeremiah, one of the major prophets. Jeremiah chapter 44. Look at verses 4 and 5. Jeremiah chapter 44, verse 4. Howbeit, I sent unto you all my servants the prophets, rising early and sending them, saying, Oh, do not this abominable thing that I hate. But they hearken not, nor incline their ear to turn from their wickedness, to burn no incense unto other gods. The abominable thing that is mentioned there, of course, is idolatry. If we give our best to other things and give God what's left over, that's idolatry. It can be a career. It can be sports. It can be a person. It can be a myriad of things. But if anything takes preeminence in our life over Jesus Christ, that's idolatry. Okay? Psalms 119 again. Psalms 119. And look at verse 113. Psalms 119, 113. We can't be any plainer than this. God says, I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. We are to bring, according to the New Testament, every vain thought into subjection and concentrate on God's word. I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. When you read his book, and I hope you're on track to get through this book this year. When you get up in the morning, and you've heard me say before, the more you read the word, the more you want to read it. The less you read it, the less you want to read it. And so there has to be something, and hopefully at the beginning of each year, that something is a resolution that you make that you're going to read your Bible through. And when you begin to do that, you get up in the morning and you say, I get to read God's word. And you go to it and you read it and you study it and you let God change your life because of it. Proverbs chapter 6 now. Proverbs chapter 6. Every young preacher has preached this through the years. It's just a great portion of Scripture. Proverbs chapter 6, let's begin reading in verse 16. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. Let's take a look at five of these. Two of them that talks about lying. Everybody understands God hates lying, okay? But a proud look, first of all. Talking about self-sufficiency. I don't need anybody or anything. I'm good. Leave me alone. I'm fine. No, you're not. You're not fine without God's hand over you. Second, hands that shed innocent blood. So who's that? Let me give you a couple of folks. The abortionist, hands that shed innocent blood. And I'll tell you another group of people, and I make no apology for saying this, the liquor crowd, the Budweiser crowd, the Heineken crowd. Let me tell you something about that, folks. 25,000 Americans every year are killed by drunk drivers. And they got drunk on something, and the liquor crowd is who I'm talking about. And God says we should hate that crowd. Every time I see a commercial on television that's talking about liquor, I hate that. I even hate the Hallmark Channel. Everybody drinks wine on the Hallmark Channel. And I hate that. And then a heart that devises wicked imaginations. For me, ladies and gentlemen, it's the Hollywood perverts that come up with horrible, horrible movies. And you've seen the trailers on television, and you go, oh my word, if this is the trailer, what in the world are they trying to project? And it's absolutely horrible. I'll tell you what, I'm going to feel good after I get through preaching tonight, getting this off my chest. How can people think that way, to come up with that horrible, horrible things? Feet that be swift in running to mischief. Some people just like trouble and are drawn to it. They run to trouble. And then last of all, those that sow discord among the brethren. God hates gossip. He hates a lying tongue. He hates backbiting. He hates taking up an offense against someone and then sowing discord among the brethren. Let's end with Psalms 139. Psalms 139, which of course is the great anti-abortion chapter in your Bibles. But the last two verses in Psalms 139, David says this, verse 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. David is saying, God, if I am wrong, please tell me. Let me know so I won't continue to do that which is wrong. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your wonderful word. And what a joy it is to our soul that you are conforming us to the image of your Son. And with that, when we read your word, it tells us what we should be doing and what we shouldn't be doing. And we're just thankful for the clarity of your word. Father, thank you for allowing us to be in your house this evening. Thank you for this place, this house of prayer, where we meet together. We ask for your hand to be upon us. We ask for your hand to be upon our nation. We ask for your hand to be upon loved ones. So, dear Father, thank you for allowing us to be here this evening. Bless these dear people in Jesus' name. Amen.